Hello to all the viewers. We are here with the first episode of What's Up Prof. And welcome, Professor Veit. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
Before we begin, may we ask that you open for us with a word of prayer?
Certainly. Heavenly Father, as we deliberate upon the great prophetic themes that are unfolding before our eyes, I pray that you will grant us wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
So this is the first episode that we're going to have, and hopefully a series of these, that we discuss current events and all things pertaining to prophecy. And we would just like to make clear to the viewers that we don't take sides on the political front. This is all just discussions on what is happening in the world. If we look at the presidential campaign in America, we've got some interesting candidates and ideologies. Can you explain to us a little bit about these ideologies and how they confront each other?
Well, isn't it fascinating that the whole political atmosphere is so acrimonious? There's such a clash of absolute opposites. And actually, it's the first time in history that you have this in the United States. There have always been these two opposites, but they've never been so far apart as to create this tremendous chasm between them. They've always been close enough so that when a change takes place between one party or the other party, the agenda remains the same. The issues might change a little bit here and there. And the ideologies and the ideas might be different, but they're not that far apart. But this time it's really serious. So perhaps we should start at looking at political systems in general. If you go back in history, then of course the system that always prevailed was a monarchy. And there you had one strong man who made all the decisions. Well, he had some advisors around him, like even the kings in biblical times. They had the Chaldeans and all these wise men and the enchanters around them to tell them what to do. And a monarch was the one who ruled with absolute power. You didn't oppose a monarch because you could end up without a head.
High treason.
Yes, and there was no recourse to a legal system to help you. If a monarch made a decision, that was it. And once the monarchy developed also in the religious sphere, like in Israel, and then was carried forward into the Christian world, eventually, the monarchs believed that they ruled by divine right. So they were chosen, and they were chosen by God, and therefore there was no opposition allowed. Because after all, God had chosen them, right? So who are you to oppose the will of God? If God would have wanted you to be king, you would have been king, but you're not king, so you have to submit to the choice that God has made. It's almost like we're going full circle on that today.
Yeah.
Well, in the world, eventually, during the French Revolution, then the monarchy was basically eradicated, and you had the democratic system come into place. It's interesting that it came into power through anarchy. The French Revolution and the terrible things that happened in the French Revolution, and the ideology was so far removed from that divine right origin that they threw everything out eventually. So in the French Revolution, reason took the place of God. So, democracy, according to the ancient Greek philosophers, is actually the final step before tyranny. That's what they said. So, democracies can develop to a point where eventually they fall apart.
Yeah.
And people then are looking for some form of stability. And normally they look for a strong man. And so we've had a couple of these events in history where you look for a strong man, and you can go through history and you will find the strong men, Stalin and Adolf Hitler and Mussolini and all of these. And they also rule with absolute power, almost like a monarch. But they are embroiled in a political system, unlike a monarchy. And the Roman Catholic Church has always favored, well, at least the Jesuits have put it on public record, that their favored system of government was fascism. Now, fascism, of course, has a very bad connotation these days because you associate it with Nazism and this ultra-authoritarian form of government. But fascism is actually a form of socialism. If you look at Roman Catholic ideology, then they have a social doctrine. And the social doctrine, according to them now, is geared towards the poor. The poor have to be uplifted and the poor have to be supported, etc., etc. And the governments in the world that were Protestant, they largely had a capitalist system. So you had capitalism against socialism. Now, as I say, the situation in Germany was that Germany had been virtually obliterated in the First World War, and eventually when it grew again, there was this socialism that brought them together, the social cohesion, and you had the strongman influence, and then you had fascism. And fascism is basically government and industry in partnership for community. So there you have the social aspect. It's the community as a whole that must benefit, and not one here and one there, the whole community.
The common good.
Yes, the common good, basically. So that is why they favor this kind of government without, of course, the bad connotations attached to it. So today you have in the United States two ideologies, which were capitalism and socialism, which are now coming to a clash. Interesting that the United States is a democracy, but in actual fact it's not a democracy. It's never was never intended to be a democracy. It's a constitutional republic.
Republic, yeah.
And there's a difference. In democracy, the majority decides. So now let's say the majority has some whatever evil trait that is so prevalent amongst them that they want to push their agenda, then according to the majority, that would eventually become law, right? But a constitution is different. In a constitution, you have a set document with very stringent parameters and rules as to how the government will be pursued. And a chosen government's only objective is to defend the constitution. That's a constitutional republic.
So it's actually, when you've got a democracy and a republic in one place, it can't work.
Eventually it must deteriorate. And that is what the ancient Greek philosopher said. He said once it becomes inherently a democracy, eventually it will unravel.
It will take over and change the rules of the republic.
Exactly. Then the republican angle takes a back seat and the majority starts taking the front seat. And then you have this clash. So that is why you have this war, basically, against certain aspects of the Constitution. Well, if this paragraph in the Constitution no longer applies in modern society, what about this one and what about that one? And eventually the whole thing unravels, and then you end up with a free-for-all, which ends up in anarchy and people hating each other, and eventually shooting each other, and well, what do you need then? Then you need a strong man
yeah.
to sort this out. So that's why the Greek philosopher says the final step just after democracy is tyranny. And I found it fascinating that when Donald Trump was being elected, there was a lot of talk about this aspect. Now, it's interesting with Donald Trump that this idea of divine choice is again coming to the fore. Have you noticed that?
It's amazing, because what is the main area where he got the votes to swing the whole campaign towards his side was the evangelical.
That's right. The evangelical vote was his main support base. And he has, of course, a tremendous team of evangelicals as advisors. So church and state was now again becoming a problem. And Donald Trump removed many of the...
Yeah, the Johnson Amendment.
Johnson Amendment, many of these issues that were, you know, breaking the religious system. But what's also fascinating is that there are so many prophets. I have an article here now. This is quite new. A California pastor who prophesied Kanye West's transformation 4 years ago predicts about Donald Trump that he will win the 2020 election. And we are all, as humanity, wired to hear from God, both people who know Jesus and don't know Jesus. This is now Sean Boltz speaking. He's the one that prophesied that Kanye West would be converted and would become a great evangelist. So people are very hyped up about this. And this idea is again coming to the fore, that God is speaking directly to his people. Now, what's fascinating is whenever all of these, there are a number of prophets, by the way. There was a program just recently with three prominent prophets, all predicting basically the same thing: the great rise of America, the moral values coming back, God will intervene and bring about this utopian era. And it's interesting that the Bible speaks about these things. When they say peace, peace, and when they bring in all of these things, then the Bible says there will be
sudden destruction.
No, I've still got this in my spirit about the president today. We better catch hands and do something about this. Satan, we bind you.
That's right.
In the you come down Jesus. From your place of authority. Yeah. Stop it now against this nation. Stop it now against Donald John Trump. Stop it now.
They're all predicting that Donald Trump, even though he is not the essence of Christian perfection, but that doesn't matter.
He is chosen by God.
He's chosen by God, and therefore God will work through him. Just as he worked through David, who was not perfect, and Moses had murdered someone and he wasn't perfect, but they were chosen by God, and God will further his agenda. And this ideology is now growing, not only in the United States of America, but worldwide. And this is fascinating. Now, parallel to these political developments, you have the religious developments. So recently there was this great move towards this gathering of the religious momentum in the Send. And you told me about...
First it was the call.
Then it was the call.
And then they migrated, or what do you call it, went over, and now it's become the Send. And now it's become an international thing.
And in the United States, when they held the Send, Kanye West was there and he had all these performances. But it wasn't such a great success.
There were quite a few thousand people. But when Kanye West came on stage, people flowed into the stadium. And after his show, or whatever you call it, the people exited again.
Awaken 2020 event in Tempe, blaring gospel music,
causing traffic, and preaching to thousands. Kanye, joined by his Sunday service choir, performed Jesus Walks before Kanye gave his own message. From there, a mass exit of fans who showed up just for Kanye. And following up, the guitarist for Korn, well, he didn't appreciate everybody leaving.
I know you hear me. Get back here!
It's fascinating that the Send didn't stop there in the United States. They had this massive meeting in South America just recently.
Yes. Now, on the 8th of February, there was 3 stadiums filled simultaneously. 140,000 people that came. And the president was not invited, but he then came and delivered a speech, thanking the people and telling them that he believes in Jesus and that Brazil is dedicated to God.
And it belongs to God.
Belongs to God.
Now, they call him, Jair Bolsonaro is his name, isn't it?
Correct.
They call him the Trump of the Amazon
tropics.
Or of the tropics.
Yeah.
The Trump of the tropics. And all over the world, all of a sudden, we find this shift. And even in England, in the United Kingdom, you have Johnson, who, like Trump, isn't exactly the emblem of the Christian lifestyle, but also by divine right was chosen, it seems. And so you have the Trump of Great Britain, and you have the Trump of South America, and you have the Trump of the United States. And the Bible tells us that the United States will lead out in bringing the world to the point where they acknowledge the authority of what the Bible calls the beast.
Well, what's interesting is Mike Pence went to visit the Pope.
Correct. It's also interesting at that meeting where the religious aspects were also discussed. One of the cardinals said that the Catholic Church is the upholder of truth in the world. So if you want to be involved in the truth, but you know, my Bible says that Jesus is the truth, is the way, the truth, and the life, and that the Bible is the truth. Thy word is truth. And obedience to God's commandments, that's truth. Psalms 119, all thy commandments are truth, thy law is truth. So here is an organization, the Roman Catholic system, that has changed God's law, number one, that has denied the atonement. Jesus didn't die for you. He died, but he didn't die for you. They've changed the mediatorship because Mary is co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces. You have access to God via the intercession of saints. So it's interesting that the organization that claims to have the truth denies all three of the definitions of the truth, because when it comes to the word, it's only in the context of tradition that the word may be understood. So the word is not the norm, the tradition is the norm. So they denied the word, they deny the soul saving mediatorial role of Jesus Christ, and they've changed the commandments. So all three definitions of truth fall by the wayside. But this is the agenda that is being pushed forward. All of these prophets that are now coming to the fore and prophesying on all of these issues, they are all claiming to be spirit-led.
That spirit is the one that determines these things. You know, it's interesting, in the Send at Brazil, these stadiums, most of these people that were preaching weren't even using Bibles. It's all in the spirit. And Benny Hinn, preaching with his fire and blowing the Holy Spirit, presumably, over the crowd, the people falling over and receiving the Spirit. So that is true. It's not Bible-led anymore.
Yes, the Protestantism was always Bible-based. The Word is the norm. Now, once the Spirit starts leading apart from the Bible, then you have no standard. And when I watch these programs where these prophets are talking and the crowd is listening, whenever the prophet says something that their ears enjoy, they cheer and they clap.
That's it.
The question is not, do your ears enjoy what you are hearing? The question is it in harmony with the Word of God?
Amen.
The Bible clearly says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. So we have to be very wary of a Spirit-led movement that is not rooted in biblical truth.
Amen.
Now, when we go back to these monarchies in the past, well, the great example of divine right was Louis XIV, the Sun King. That was at the height of France's power. And he was the one that ruled by divine right. Now, the Bible talks about the kings of the world will give their power unto the beast. And all the reformers, of course, had identified the beast with the Roman Catholic system. And the Roman Catholic system has a social doctrine. Now, it's interesting that in this election, Bernie Sanders is the one that absolutely embodies the social system of the Vatican. In fact, he attended a course at the Vatican, and he agrees with the Roman Catholic social doctrine, which is embedded in the encyclical Rerum Novarum.
Oh, yeah.
So, where you have the redistribution of wealth. And this argument, of course, is now very prominent.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting that God, being removed from the political system, has to now allow various systems in the world. But I find it fascinating that the Protestant world had always chosen capitalism. So the Protestant world, the most prosperous nations in the world, had capitalism as their basis. And there's a shift now towards socialism. Now, what is the ideological difference between the two? Capitalism encourages individualism. And it's interesting that Pope Francis has decried individualism as the bane of society. We are not allowed to be individualistic. We should only fall into line with the common good, which is, of course, determined by the church, what the common good is. Climate change, of course, is one of the great things for common good. So you have this dynamic within the political system. So Donald Trump stands for this individualism and capitalism, but then the argument is then you have the super rich and the super poor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there have been some interesting TED Talks on that of late with some of these billionaires talking about this issue, and they say, you know what, we cannot greatly contribute to the economy. The one man said, when I go to a store to buy trousers, I will buy two. I have enough money to buy a million pair of trousers, but what am I going to do with them? I'm only going to wear two. So if I were in the trouser industry, I would contribute for the purchase of two pairs of trousers. I mean, what's that going to do to the economy? But if I can empower people by raising the standard of living so that everybody can afford two pairs of trousers, then my industry would of course gain. So it is to the benefit of the capitalist to empower people, because the more people that can buy, the better the economy. Whereas the socialist thinking is you have to raise the standard of the poor, therefore you have to take from the rich to give to the poor. Now, the Vatican has quite plainly said, yes, they want to redistribute wealth,
yeah,
but that won't necessarily improve the standard of living of those that are being raised. It will just equal everybody.
It will make the rich poor, but
it won't raise the poor. So again, you have the same system. So it'll be very interesting to me, and I'm watching it, and I'm fascinated to see who's going to win. It doesn't really matter. Because if it's the Bernie Sanders ideology, it's the Roman Catholic ideology. If it is the divine right and the church and the state coming together on the other side, then it's also the Roman Catholic ideology of building the kingdom of God on earth. So you have this kingdom theology. And if you go to, for example, the prayer breakfast.
Oh, yes, that which was recently.
Which you have on Netflix, they have movie on it. On
The Family.
The Family. This whole idea of being there by divine right and ruling by divine right, this is becoming very prominent in politics. What's also interesting, of course, is that in actual fact, they are actually kings. Because if you go into the background of the political candidates, then they all have royal blood in them. And this has been the case in the American election since its inception. All the presidents had royal blood.
I remember you did a sermon or a lecture on that.
Yes.
The Beamable Sustainable Princes.
Correct. So whoever they are, it doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is that the world is currently polarized. Morality is seen to have disappeared out of society. And they're trying to get it back by bringing church and state together by whatever political system.
Yeah, Democrats, Republicans,
it doesn't really matter. So basically we can be observers.
Thank you very much for coming through. And we hope that the viewers enjoyed this first episode of What's Up, Prof.
Thank you.